Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey, everyone across the globe, welcome back to this episode of Blue Collar BS with your co-host Brad
and Steve.
And Steve, yes, we are bringing you great entertainment and education value from the Wisconsin and Michigan area here in the United States, and we are blessed to have worldwide listenership and grateful for all of you to take part in our learnings, and we appreciate all the feedback and comments that come from y'all, so keep that coming. Mr. Doyle, what are we going to talk about on today's episode?
Well, today we're going to talk about an article that came out from Forbes, came out on October 13th, and it's about the tale of two job markets, where we're going to talk about white collar workers lack opportunities while blue collar have many options. So it was very interesting when we talk about the job report that came out. And since this article was brought out in October, the job report was a September job report, where the headlines that were made were 336,000 new jobs were added to the U.S. economy. Really cool. So it's great news for the frontline blue-collar service sector jobs that boomed. However, the white-collar professionals, as per this article said, were left in the dust.
Right.
So very...
There's a noticeable slowdown. The article goes and says, according to research from Indeed, listings for technology roles are down 55% from 2022. Yes. Banking vacancies fell more than 40%, and insurance listings dropped 18%.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that entry-level white-collar work of insurance and banking or financial institutions is dramatically down from where people were 2 years ago, even a year ago. And
right.
It's different. It's a different type of situation than it was in, you know, 08 or 2000 and 2001, 2002. It's a very different look and feel. And the amount of noise that's going on about the trades and about things and people out there doing that, there has been, at least internally in our market here, there has been a quiet rise of acceptance of working with your
yes.
hands, a quiet rise of awareness of, oh, I don't necessarily have to be the guy doing the plumbing, but I like doing all the scheduling. I like doing the buying. I like talking to customers. I like doing those things, because we're also seeing an increase of demand for those services across the board. We're seeing an increase of homeowners that don't know how to do anything.
Right. They've never had been put into the opportunity to figure out and learn it just based on their upbringing. But also some of them are also recognizing, I don't have the time to do this. I don't have the time to acquire the knowledge. I don't have the time to go acquire the tools. And I just need it fixed now mentality. So it's very interesting how things are changing from the, hey, let's pump everybody into white collar space, kind of putting that drain on the blue collar space, to, hey, we've neglected that space for so long. There's a huge void in vacancies. And actually, there's more money to be made in the blue collar space now as a result of all of these. What we have done as educators, as parents, you know, as society, in pushing these people down. Now they're our heroes. Now they're the people that we have to turn to bring plumbing into the house, bring electricity to the house, to operate all of our Wi-Fi devices so our kids will, you know, quit annoying us, so to speak.
All of our EV chargers, right, for the electric vehicles that are going to save the planet and all those fun things.
Right. Right. Yes, those two.
You know, by the way, the rumor is that every, or at least I shouldn't say, you know, for every EV vehicle, that's like two more houses on a grid that is outdated. Mm-hmm. And so just think about that. Just think about having to rebuild our infrastructure. Mm-hmm. who's going to do it?
Right.
Because Grandpa George, who's 68 years old, isn't going to go out in the middle of nowhere, United States, putting up and working on those type of things, being gone from Grandma Betty, you know, 3 months right. out of the year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's very interesting how the whole commentary on the job market transitioning from white collar to blue collar, it's very enlightening, so to speak, but it's also raises, you know, continued concern because the continued, when we talk to younger kids, as you know, I went into schools and talked to them, you know, they're told we've got to go to college to get good jobs, you know, and this is, these are sixth graders. And we did a, you know, a few shows ago, we talked about that.
Right.
You know, so we still have work to do as parents, as educators, as those in the blue collar space to continue to educate people on the sheer need. But it's also those of us in that space to rise up and, you know, have a voice to say, it isn't all dirty. It isn't all, you know, hard work. Yes. Is it those things at times? Yes. But white collar space is hard work as well. So we need to think about those things.
But yes, at the end of the day, we have a discrepancy of what's going on, and AI is creating the same fears in the white collar world as automation has created in the factories, in manufacturing, in large OEMs, in you know, the big three automotive guys. Automation was the big fear because we're going to displace people. At the end of the day, yep, people have been, some jobs have been replaced, but that creates other opportunity along the way. They're talking about, so Goldman Sachs, March last year, this year, did a research report saying that the investment bank concluded the analysis that 300 million jobs could be lost or diminished due to fast growing technology. Okay, great. If anybody's used AI, it does not replace human. It's artificial intelligence. It will never replace human capabilities. And the opportunity to create that customer service aspect, it's going to be a big decision for organizations to do X or Y. I can either have people involved, or I can use artificial intelligence as a tool to support me, or not. And there needs to be a combination of all those things, of the human right. element along with that, because there's no context in AI. AI can't see what's going on around it. Well, it can, but trying to put an analysis to what that is to understand, we'll just wait and see. But yes, the blue collar world has great opportunity. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to bull season. You know, we're recording here at the end of December. Home Depot has taken a massive approach to promoting what's going on. They've got this great commercial talking about footballers, 256 jobs, draft jobs available for the NFL, essentially, as all these college kids are playing. But yet there's 600,000 jobs available in the trades world out there. So where do you want to go get drafted? It's a very cool commercial. Granted, it's very much, hey, we want to do this to promote our products and our services and our ability. But it's one of the first national brands that is taking a national approach and putting it out there in the common domain to be able to not have it be the behind the curtains conversation, but it's there right out in front of everybody
right.
during every football game right now. So kudos to the big orange box store for taking a risk and disrupting what would be considered a, well, you can't tell our kids what to do about this, that. The other thing is all these universities are here playing football. So let's talk about the universities and education system. And they're talking about the contrary to that.
Absolutely.
So to speak. And it's like, huh, very interesting. It's a very interesting dynamic. The NCAA is taking their money for the sponsorship, but yet we're not necessarily promoting them to go to those universities Correct. To go do those things at a young age or to the same degree that it's there. Because the trades, and we still need engineers, we still need finance people, we still need operations folks that aren't going to be turning wrenches, we still need logistics folks, we still need people to look at data, that loves looking at data and creating infrastructure and technology and implementing systems and training and teaching, because the guy turning the wrench can't do that all. And that's where many of the smaller tradesmen, you know, the three-man shop place, that's where they fail, because they think they can do it all on their own, and then they get stagnant and they never move forward.
And as technology moves forward, we as society, we as individuals have to move forward and continue to hone our craft to become highly specific in those hard to find skills. That's how we separate ourselves, is we now start to learn niche skills within the vast array of what it is we're talking about. And yes, we're being very generic here, but you know, we can nail down and go into, you know, any electrical company, go into any plumbing company. There are niches that need to be served that aren't, that you can actually create a very well sought out craft for by learning those skills.
Yeah. If you just open up your eyes and pay attention as you're driving down the highway to all the commercial vehicles that you pass by, or you get pissed off about, you know, the van that's got the markings on it for company XYZ. If you just look up, scan the QR codes that are on their vans and take time to go see what they all do, you're going to go, huh, I didn't know anybody did that. Really? I didn't know anybody. All they did was industrial steam cleaning of buildings.
Right.
Yeah. That's all they do. And they make a living at it, and they do it really, really well because they've found their niche and they found their service. Can they steam clean your house? Probably. Are they going to be best at it? Maybe, maybe not. That's where Stanley Steamer comes into play, so to speak. But there are other things that are there and available.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's just a matter of getting up and paying attention to what's going on. What are you seeing as the opportunity for that part-time combination between maybe playing both sides, wearing two different collars? What do you think might be happening there?
When we're really juggling, you know, the different jobs, one of the prior shows that we just recorded is, you know, we're having that entrepreneurial spirit, you know, as we're dabbling in different markets where we're working part-time. And the reason for that is we're not necessarily fulfilled and we want to start to make a change, but we're not fully committed to making that change. So we're kind of dabbling around in that. Sometimes we are juggling around several part-time jobs. Why are we doing that? Because it offers the freedom of time where we don't.
Right. Do you remember our conversation with Daniel Felt probably a year and a half ago? And we asked him from Kira Homes and said, hey, what do you think is going to look like? And he brought that topic up going, hey, what he sees happening is people having two or three different part-time jobs, and they have them categorized as primary, secondary, and tertiary.
Yes.
And these two are the one they're committed to. And the third one is that, hey, when I need the extra cash, I'm going to go work that type scenario, be it the gas station or the bar or waitress or whatever those other things are. And I'm like, wow. I mean, so his kudos to you, Mr. Felt. Just want to give you that shout out here that you were a visionary and brought that to our attention. And now Forbes is agreeing with you.
Absolutely.
So that's a pretty big thing for you, Mr. Felt. So congratulations on seeing this before others.
Absolutely.
Up in Minnesota.
Absolutely. So this is a very interesting, interesting and timely article versus, you know, everything that we continue to talk through and work on. So very, very enlightening, honestly.
All right. So you have a primary client that is in the construction world. Where are you seeing the opportunity for white collar jobs in your industries in that commercial construction space happening? Do you see them reluctant to hire the PMs, not maybe the company you're working for, but other tradesmen that you're working with, to hire that extra person to control all the activity because they think the guy in the field is good enough, right? Because one of the things I see is that the finding good project managers, finding good estimators that can understand what's going on, and good logistics people in the manufacturing construction world is like trying to find a unicorn or, you know, the four leaf clover on Shamrock right. Day here.
No, I mean, what we're seeing, honestly, is when we're for that type of company that is growing, they're pulling the project managers, they're pulling, you know, estimators, they're pulling schedulers out of traditional white collar corporate spaces. And why are they doing that? Is they have a different skill set. They have a skill set that is different. They see things differently than what has traditionally been brought in. So bringing somebody, necessarily somebody up through the ranks for the pace at which they're going, they need a different skill set. So they need people that are thinking faster, thinking quicker. So they are pulling from white collar spaces into the blue collar space. They are paying better than white collar spaces, and they offer more time freedom because they're not working 50, 60 hours a week. They're working right at 40, 45 hours a week. This is what we work because they want you to go home to their families, you know, to spend time with your family. So you come back refreshed. It isn't all about work, is what we find a lot in the blue collar space.
So that's a very interesting, let's just dive on that for a minute or mm-hmm. two. All right. Construction is that sunrise, sunset type world. Whereas many traditional corporate jobs are typically, hey, you got to have your car in the parking lot, X, Y, Z. But then we went through COVID and the work from home and the flexibility of working. Are you seeing a potential trend or in your mind or predicting a potential trend that the flexibility of working 8 hours over 16 hours is starting to take a toll on potentially mental health and families, and that we need to maybe move back to traditions?
From what I've seen, I wouldn't say that at all. What I see is two distinct areas. I see, you know, how we operate in the, I would say, residential side versus commercial side, two different mindsets.
Yes, they are two very different worlds. Two very different worlds.
So yes. The comment on the mental health and, you know, working, you know, 8 hours over 16 hours, some of that comes more into play when you're dealing with residential, just because you're dealing with people that are emotionally tied to their money. I'm just saying it the way it is, right? Emotionally tied to the money means you want to have a say in everything that is done, all the way down, you know, to, you know, if there is a speck of dust left, you know, it can be like that. And so that does weigh quite a bit on, you know, the blue collar workers that are performing the work. Now there are some people, and it is going to be homeowner specific. Some homeowners, you know, they'll actually have, in some cases, they'll actually have a cooler sitting outside, you know, for the workers, which, you know, the workers actually appreciate that more, and they actually take better care of your property versus the homeowner that sits there and watches every little thing that you do. And if you breathe wrong, they are in your face. And, you know, nobody wants to work in those.
Hey, you walked off the carpet pad. You put your footprint on the carpet. You walked off the aisle.
Exactly. So,
oh, be quiet.
So in that sense, yes, it is going to take you longer. You are going to work 8 hours over 16 hours because of the constant dealing with people like that. Versus on the commercial side, it is there is pretty much a set working hour. It's, you know, you're somewhere between the 8 to 9 hour mark, but then you're gone. You go home, you go do your thing. Or, you know, if they run multiple shifts, it's literally shift work coming, so that you don't have to work those, you know, 8 hours over 16. You're not consumed with being away from home for that period of time. So there is that traditional sense, if you will, the, hey, we do need you here from here, but do we have some flex shifts going on the commercial side? Yeah. Residential, that's just a whole different beast.
It is different for sure. So thank you for bringing up that Forbes article. We will have the link in the show notes and available for that. Probably also put the link to the YouTube video for the Home Depot ad if anybody's interested to see that and see what Home Depot is really trying to promote. And I think it's finally getting a unified voice that people can get behind and do something with and be able to have that, oh, reference point of, did you see, what does that mean to you? And having that conversation with mm-hmm. your kids, with your family, with those things in an open environment while you're watching a football game, kudos to them for bringing that conversation up, because it may be different than what we see moving forward with the difference of white collar and blue collar opportunities moving right. forward. We'll see what happens, you know, election year 2024, who knows, everybody gets antsy, but the biggest thing I can tell her, look, all you can do is control your vote, and you control nothing mm-hmm. else. You can control only things that you can control, and you can prepare for things and plan for things, but fear should not be your driver.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, so go out and use your entrepreneurial spirit and your entrepreneurial spirits to go out and thrive and take full advantage of opportunity that is out there. Cause no matter what happens, there will always be opportunity.
It's just waiting for you to take action.
Correct. Just like this show.
Take action.
2.5 years ago. Take action. Exactly. All right, Mr. Doyle, have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will talk soon. All right,
sounds great. You too, Brad.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.